Go.
Get ready, get set for the best movie and pop culture talk in the universe. It's the Good Brothers on Mercado Airwaves with your hosts, Alex Mercado and Mike Mercado.
Welcome back to another episode of the Good Brothers, the season premiere of the Good Brothers. I'm Alex, that's Mike. We are the Good Brothers. We are the Highwaymen from New York to LA talking everything pop culture. Say hi to the folks.
Hi, folks. How's everything going? Welcome back, good brother. You are still over and you're doing your thing as you are getting ready. You just finished up a hellish competition season, but we are getting ready because it is WrestleMania season. And moving forward, as long as we are still doing the damn Zoom thing, of course, leave it to the Mercado brothers to be a year late. But you'll be able to see our ugly mugs, our fun little graphic t-shirts, as we move forward here on the Good Brothers here on Mercado Airwaves, your highwaymen between LA and New York City. Good Brother, welcome back.
It's good to be back, man. We have so much to talk about. This is like prime pop culture season we're about to enter and kind of in the beginning of.
Absolutely. But before we get into all the fun stuff that we're going to talk about when it comes to predictions and the MCU, we have to make sure that we start this week's episode by, you know, giving our condolences to the one and only DMX, who we lost just on Friday. And it was, you know, something that we had heard. He had the heart attack and we knew that there was problems at the hospital. And sure enough, the news finally broke after some fake news broke, but we did lose DMX. And, you know, obviously for those of you who know his impact in the music career, but also his impact in movies. And, you know, I that word impact, like people think Oscars and things like that. But the fact that he was in so many cult classics with Jet Li, like Romeo Must Die, Cradle to the Grave, and then obviously with Steven Seagal in like Exit Wounds. And, you know, it was somebody who was just so culturally relevant. And then before he passed away, he had that historic versus with Snoop Dogg. And they always say, give the flowers to the people while they're still alive. And, you know, it was kind of nice that at that given moment, DMX got his flowers. And, you know, I hope he finds peace, you know, because he was a troubled soul. And you always hear that about, like, the things that he went through. But, you know, he will be missed. And he was somebody that was very culturally relevant to me as a child. And I know to our uncle and a lot of our aunts and uncles who are a little bit older than us. So your thoughts on DMX leaving us?
Yeah, I agree completely. We grew up with him as a rapper because our aunts and uncles are so young. We got introduced to that at a really fun age. But I think for you and me, like you said, we know him. We loved his action films, like his B, you would call them B action films this day, or, you know, honestly, a straight to Netflix version of what that used to be. He was one of the original guys really doing that. And we did this last year in Quarantine Files about our favorite B-movies or those type of films. And it was high up on both our lists because of how fun and kooky and just all action, like this random black rapper and Jet Li cruising through L.A. on mopeds and ATVs and finding diamonds and tanks and missiles and Tom Arnold. You know, it was some of the most fun movies you can watch at the time. And it really did help Jet Li get to a next level. Gabriel Union, obviously. So that's one of my favorite films. So that's what I always go back to and look at when I think of him.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you're looking for something to jam to besides just, you know, the rhythm, the anthem, or X gonna give it to you, you know, check out Slippin'. It's a really great song. And, you know, he's gonna be missed, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, as we get older, you and I particularly, we make it personal. It's like a lot of the people we grew up listening and watching, you know, they're going to start leaving us. And, you know, it's a shame, but, you know, his legacy will live on and everybody is a fan of him. Everybody's listened to his music and everybody knows the name DMX. So shout out to DMX for a great career. And hopefully he finds peace on the other side. But good brother. All right, people. With that, good brother, we go ahead and we move on today's episode as we talk about some fun stuff heading into this weekend. Normally, the Good Brothers, we record this on Fridays, but, you know, recently with everything that's been going on with Disney Plus and, you know, we got The Mandalorian, WandaVision, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we are now being able to do this on a Saturday. And what's really fun about that is so many news breaks down. So before we get into all the predictions of WrestleMania 37 with a crowd at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay, Florida, a two-night event, we need to talk about just some news in general. And I wanted to start off with, how about Falcon and the Winter Soldier? We start with a basic review of it, good brother. We don't want to spend too much time necessarily breaking down every episode. I know you haven't had a chance to talk about the series in general. So instead of specifically talking about what we just saw this past Friday, how about we get your thoughts of what we've seen so far and what you've enjoyed and not enjoyed of Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
I've honestly enjoyed every bit of it. I think it's one of those shows where when you get to classic shows, you don't have to break it down episode to episode. You can just talk about what they're trying, what the message is, what the series is really trying to tell us. And there's so many great messages to every episode. I think the build is great. I think Marvel has shown us this year that they can do space. They can do spy soldier. I'm so excited for Black Widow. And I think it goes back to, they have not nailed the sorcery yet. They haven't. And like, I think it goes to show, you seeing this show, I hate to pile on it, but it really shows how mediocre WandaVision really was. And it was all a gimmick. But without the gimmick, you really look back, you're like, we're not talking about it anymore beside negative. Or maybe, okay, the two stars, great performance of a lifetime. No one's saying they didn't. But as a show, compared to this, you're like, man, this is riveting. This is entertaining. This keeps me like, it's not a gimmick. Like, this is just good television, and I love it. It reminds me of Blacklist when NBC hit it on the head with that, and they won all their Emmys. It's just spy genre and action at its best. I think it connects to a bigger universe and a universal audience of people that really enjoy the acting. Superb. It's maybe tied with first for my favorite thing on TV right now, next to Invincible, which we'll talk about later. But man, they just hit it so out of the park with this. Every episode gets better and better. I think you and me talked about it, where they really brought back Zemo and made him a character we enjoy. Like, I understand now why you were hyped to put Zemo in a movie. And I wish you would have done it a little better, but this makes up for it.
Absolutely. And there just seems to be a lot of layers in this show. And I talked about it over the reviews the last few weeks. It's very subtle. And then it's not when it's supposed to be. It makes sure that the message lands, but it doesn't seem like it's preaching at you. And there is this complicatedness that we just saw this past episode of, would you take the super serum? And it gives you two different angles of what happens with it. Because you tend to forget, we fall in love with Steve Rogers and Chris Evans in that portrayal. But we forget that in the MCU, this super serum really is one of these devastating things, and it makes a lot of bad guys. So when you have that coming into effect right now, I wonder how they were going to kind of get around that. And it's this wonderful message of like trying to do too much, and to, you know, the roads paved were with the greatest of intentions, you know. And we see that, and I think Wyatt Russell is absolutely killing it as U.S. agent in this series. I actually think, you know, he got a lot of crap in the beginning of this, but I think he's absolutely killing it as of right now.
Yeah, I agree. I love this episode. It's my favorite episode. With two big scenes stuck out to me beside the Dora Minaj. I know I'm saying it wrong, but it's the best I can say it. They were awesome. But the other two scenes for me were, they're talking about the serum and Zemo saying, you know, it's always been bad. It's never really worked. And them mentioning Steve Rogers, he's like, that was the one time.
The exception.
That was the one time that it did work. And Steve Rogers is obviously Steve Rogers. He's a freaking angel. And then the second part is the message with the shield. Of like, that's the little underlining message. The whole thing is, what do we do with the shield? And what does it really represent? And is what does it not represent? And to see that ending, you know, spoiler alert, where him just going apeshit with that shield and the blood and that pose that usually you'd see Steve Rogers, Captain America, to see him more in a bad guy now, it's really, man, it takes your breath away for a second. It's really deep.
Yeah, the symbolism of it is really strong, and kind of the moment where we do see Battlestar, you know, spoiler alert, lose his life, and you see kind of that moment. And I also really like the subtlety of how we find out he's a super soldier. You know, obviously when he hides the serum and like they're leaning into it, but the way they show that he takes it, at least, you know, for me when I noticed it, was when he's using the hearing and he's listening out for them. And you're like, oh, you know, he didn't have just this big moment. Eventually we see the big action moment where he's catching the iron bars and all these different things. But that the moment that they introduce is that, oh, did he take it, was just a quiet little moment. And this entire series has just had quiet, nice little moments. And I think in defense and maybe an argument towards WandaVision one way or the other, it's just we have seen a lot of different ways to go at watching these shows. You know, you had the Mandalorian way that its viewers watch it. You had a way that WandaVision was being watched by people. It's not the same. People aren't watching week to week with the same expectations or wanting the same results. And here's one of the things, you call it a gimmick, I call it the chatter around the universe. This WandaVision was the most popular show when it was out. Falcon and Winter Soldier is this most popular show while it's out right now. The difference is the online community, the one that you and I are a part of, the one that everybody listening to the Good Brothers here are part of, is we are putting those expectations out there during WandaVision. You don't see out there Kotaku, IGN, you know, BuzzFeed, and name any other top 10 thing that they're making a, what rumor, what happened in this one in episode 5? What will happen in this one? That Easter egg was this. That letter upside down is because of that. They're not doing that with this show. So is that a product of the show, or is that the product of us, the consumer? And I think that's been the difference in the show and why we've been able to enjoy it in a different way and listen and see the message much more than we were in WandaVision.
You know how I feel? I think WandaVision was set up as a gimmick. The directors have basically come out saying they wanted us to be in this mystery. I just think they didn't stick the landing. When we talk about popularity, it reminds me of Bird Box. It was the most talked about thing. Timing was everything over winter break, over quarantine. It caught lightning, but a month later, after the gimmick was over and the theories and what does the monster look like, we stopped talking about it. And I feel like that's what WandaVision is.
You know, it's interesting. We'll see. As we know in the MCU, everything comes back full circle. So we'll see what happens when Doctor Strange comes around and when Spider-Man comes around, how much of this we start going back to and how much we binge again. And, you know, we all know in the MCU, it's never just one thing. So we'll see. You know, again, the rumors have started that there's a big cameo coming out in this episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The big difference between Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and I also think of WandaVision, is the level of character. And I don't mean that on the script. You're looking at Scarlet Witch and Vision compared to Bucky and Sam. Like, there is a pedigree that is different, and there is a mystical, like almost God-level difference when we see those Avengers compared to these Avengers. So I also think there is that where this just seems like a spy thriller because it isn't a cyborg, Infinity Stone, living sex toy, and Wanda, you know, the ultimate witch. So, like, I think that you have to take that into consideration when you're comparing the two.
Agreed. No, you're right about that. And I want to give you a special shout-out because before you mentioned that with the new Captain America, I had noticed when he bent the thing, obviously, oh, he has super strength. But good call on the listening. And that whole scene was weird to me. I'm like, why is he just looking at this mirror? Why is he going down this hallway so weird? So good call on you. Usually I'm the one that does that. But, like, props to you, my dude. You're getting good in your old age.
Well, appreciate it. And with that, we talk about old age. I saw the first episode as well as you did and all of the internet of another superhero show that knocked it out of the park and has since released episodes. I am waiting to finish the entire thing. I know you are all about it because our main man is in it as the main voice actor, along with one of our other guys as the other main actor. But with that, it is a comic book series that we've all heard about in the community. We've all read about during this entire big, you know, boom that we've seen. We're talking about Amazon Prime's Invincible. Your thoughts, good brother?
It's tied. I think it will be my favorite show. There's just something about Amazon shows and superhero movies that they can't miss. Kirkman and his company that did Walking Dead, that did Preacher. I think this goes to show you, because I think they go a little underappreciated sometimes. And I think it goes to show you, one, how good of a job they did on AMC with a Walking Dead show. But it also goes to show you, when you give them the full reins, their comics are very violent and they're very gruesome, but in a very artistic way. I wouldn't say gross. There's nothing, you're not watching these and being like, man, that was gross. You're watching like, damn, that was brutal. But, like, it made sense that it was brutal. So I really appreciate what they're doing and what Amazon has led them doing. Amazon has another hit on their hands. It's obviously going over very well. Reviews are good. The people that have seen the full season love it. I love it 4 episodes in. I'm not going to give any spoilers at all because we don't need to yet. We can talk about that in a later episode. The voice, this has to be the best voice cast I've ever seen. I'll name the family alone. You have Steven Yeun playing Invincible, the son. Mr. J.K. Simmons playing the dad. And Sandra Oh is the mom. it's an obnoxious cast when you think about it. Mahershala Ali, sorry, improper saying, but gonna Mr. Ali himself is in the newest episode and freaking kills it. I want to give him an Emmy just for his voice. Every time, like, I love Amazon because you can see who the voice actor is right away by clicking on it. And every scene, I'm like, oh my God, they got Quincy Jones? They have this person? They have who? Wait, really? That's who that superhero is? It's amazing. Like, I love this, like, not only that we're getting so much superhero, but now we're getting animated superhero at, like, think about, like, Justice League mixed with The Boys almost.
Yeah, that's a good selling point. That's a good elevator pitch to somebody that's interested in watching the show. It's The Boys meets Justice League, but in animated form. And yeah, that first episode, no spoilers again to what happens in it. But if you're looking for something that is a fun episode throughout the entire 40-minute run, and then one of the craziest last 5 minutes in the history of anything, Invincible is that. And yeah, I highly recommend it just from this first episode. I'm doing the binge thing. I know Amazon is more than okay with that because they're going to have plenty of seasons of this show. So I'm excited for that. But with that, good brother, have you been watching anything else? Is there anything else you want to review? I know you're super mad about how the Powerpuff Girls are looking from the behind the scenes photos of their costumes. But anything else before we get into the meat and potatoes of this episode?
No, you know, we're still in the middle of Oscar season, so we've been attacking that. Obviously, we didn't get to talk about it, but Kong and Godzilla, you know, I said it on Tommy Dreamer's tweet, and I got a few likes that, you know, I would be honest, Godzilla won, he won the match, but King Kong got over.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, Kong went over big time. They definitely did, I wouldn't say Godzilla did the favors, but Godzilla definitely made a tag team with Kong, and they went over on somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was like when Hogan and Edge were partners together.
It was Hogan and Rock, honestly. We're sure. Like, yeah, The Rock won, but then when The Rock was getting attacked, like, who was there to help?
That's
him?
A good point. Yeah,
it reminds me a lot of that ending of, like, man, I didn't expect it to be that great. I love the movie. I think it's my favorite movie of
the year.
I believe four monster movies we've gotten. It's my favorite one. Obviously, it's because we have the most monsters time. It was amazing, like, and it's making the money it deserved, and people are watching it, and it gives me hope for Mortal Kombat coming out soon, and Space Jam, these are the movies you want to release at home, probably, like, these popcorn blockbusters where we can watch on our big TVs, release these at home, and maybe Dune, we'll see where we are for that.
And, you know, it's interesting where, you know, a movie like Kong and Godzilla, where it was very critically and within the fans, highly rated. It's making money in theaters. It's been streamed a lot. That not only is it building its maybe this new franchise, and we even seen that Adam Wainwright was saying, we don't know exactly what we want to do, but we're waiting to see kind of like the storm and what people are saying after these movies come out. But kind of the ramifications now of things getting pushed back. And, you know, some of these companies saying, well, maybe we do just see if we just release it to the movie theaters. And, you know, we do have these films that are meant for at home and these movies that are going to have to be these tentpole films like we've expected them to be. So we do know that Black Widow is going to be one of those movies where it's in theaters and as a premier access for Disney Plus. So it's not doing the HBO thing where just the account itself is enough. What do you think about that? And some of the news we're finding also about Sony jumping into the streaming game by exclusively going to Netflix and just kind of the stuff that we've been having over the last few days business-wise.
Sony and Netflix is amazing. That's always a big move when you see a studio do something like that. I think in the next few months, we'll see what that does with Spider-Man. And obviously that whole deal and not deal, so that'll be interesting, but we don't have enough details about that, but it's awesome. Like, we find that dope for other Sony properties that they're going to be able to get that, and obviously Netflix is the one app you'll never delete because it's Netflix. You know, when it comes to Disney, they're at the point now where they're really going to try to sell this premier Disney theater thing. Like, it didn't work with Mulan, it didn't work with, like, it hasn't worked yet, but man, they're like, no, we'll figure out what will work with it. Like, they're really stubborn about, man, one of these movies will work. And I do think it is Black Widow. I think it's interesting that they've had to have so many failures when it comes to that money-wise release schedule. But I'll give them credit. Like, they're sticking with it. And I've said from day one, and you've also agreed, Black Widow's the one to do it with. Like, if you're going to do it Marvel. Marvel will get you the money you do want. Like, they'll give you that Godzilla money. And I think, like, you've noticed, you've talked about vaccinations and things opening up. you know, Kong Godzilla was a big movie for the movie theaters. And I think Black Widow will do the same. So I think this is where it finally works. But I do think it's funny that Disney had to fail. Like, they're going to hit it on the head. Like, they don't care how many movies it takes. You will either pay the premium or go to the theaters. Pick one.
And I agree with you. And the fact that it is Black Widow is very interesting, because does it tell us that, how, you know, we know that it's the MCU, so it's all connected. And are they willing to bet in the fact there's like, no, you're going to want to watch this because you're going to want to know exactly why this is all part of this story put together. But with all that and the movie industry being the way it is, you know, you've been gone since the Warner Brothers news came out, where we know we're not getting the Trench and the New Gods, but we did see that Black Adam is filming. So what are your thoughts of that and where the Warner Brothers DCEU is kind of heading?
I don't disagree with Warner Brothers, because I think those properties definitely were like, were we really looking forward to it, or were we looking forward to Ava DuVernay doing something cool? I'm always down for Ava DuVernay doing something cool. I will say this, though, and I want to put it out there, I'm not a hater. I think she made the best documentary that's ever existed. I think she's made the best miniseries, possibly one of the best miniseries ever. But when it comes to blockbuster films, man,
Wrinkle in Time is rough.
I haven't seen her hit, so I don't think this is what I want. I didn't want a New Gods movie. I don't think putting Ava, I think that would have done the same thing with Wrinkle in Time. You're taking something we kind of know, and you're going to try to spend millions and millions of dollars on it, and is it going to deliver? I'd rather see her do something we know a character of, that we're excited for, like a Ryan Coogler in Black Panther or something, or a James Gunn in the Guardians. Like, I want her to have something that's not just huge universe that she has to build, and when it doesn't work out money-wise, because as an audience, we just don't want to see the New Gods, then she gets another bust. Because A Wrinkle in Time, I think, is a fine movie. I just think it was the wrong time, the wrong length, and it just didn't add up at the end. But it's not her fault. But at the same time, I'm excited for Black Adam, because I do want to see that. And The Rock is our future president, so I will support everything he does. And a fun fact, check out Young Rock. Like, it's an NBC show. It's super fun.
Yeah, you're the first person.
It's one of my favorite 30-minute comedies this year, because it has so much wrestling nostalgia. And you can tell, like, obviously, like, it's with kid gloves, but that's okay. It's like a Modern Family where, like, for 30 minutes, 22 minutes, actually, I'm just having fun listening to The Rock narrate, listening to Sheiky Baby and Andre and all of them.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it. You're not the first person who's kind of mentioned for a 30-minute sitcom, like, old-school style, that it's actually pretty interesting. So, shout out to that. But, good brother, why don't we talk a little bit more about wrestling? Why don't we talk about one of the big tent poles of not just sports, not just entertainment, but sports and entertainment. It is WrestleMania 37, fans in the stands, Raymond James Stadium, a two-night event in Tampa Bay, Florida. Your boy has tickets, but unfortunately, my second vaccination is still a few weeks away. That's okay. Somebody else will get to enjoy a wonderful night on Sunday, that is. But before we get to Sunday, good brother,
COVID, you jabroni,
we have to talk about Saturday, night one, tonight. If WrestleMania, we get to see some amazing matches, and I'm going to call it right now. I think all of us already know, since we know the main event of night one is Sasha versus Bianca, well-deserved. I'm pretty sure we know what's opening the very first match in the post-COVID world where we're going to have fans in the stands. Are you ready, good brother? Are you ready for WrestleMania 37, our official predictions on the Good Brothers?
Let's get it on.
We'll start off with the WWE Championship. Bobby Lashley defends the title against Drew McIntyre. Who do you got?
I'm going to go Drew, because I think Bobby chases to SummerSlam and the Hurt Business comes back.
I don't know if it's that even deep of a story. I think this is just a get right by almost both guys. You get Bobby Lashley on the main card. You get him a big spot. He's got his title reign. You know, you did right by Bobby. And now with Drew, he's going to be the first person. You're going to hear those bagpipes go on. And it is going to be the first person at WrestleMania. The first person to get a pop will be the guy that beat Brock Lesnar in the warehouse, you know? So I think this is more just get us to this point. I agree with you, like, Bobby Lashley isn't going anywhere when it comes to the storyline, but I don't know if it goes all the way to SummerSlam. We don't know what post-WrestleMania is going to look, but I do think that Drew McIntyre wins this, gets his title back, and this is a get-right go full circle for both Bobby and Drew McIntyre.
So we both got Drew. Good.
How about we move on to something that I think a lot of people have been snoozing on when it comes to how important this person is taking it. You know, you could take away all the stuff that Dave Meltzer has said and some other, you know, fans have said. Everybody has their taste, but Bad Bunny and Damian Priest take on The Miz and John Morrison. You know, the talk has been that Bad Bunny has dedicated a bunch of time to training. We've seen that not only is he a fan, he gets it. I'm not looking for a five-star classic. I'm looking for a fun match that's going to get Damian Priest over and something to showcase The Miz and John Morrison. With that, good brother, who do you got?
Obviously, you do the celebrity like you did with Stephen Amell a few years ago. You're going to go Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. We're huge fans. We're not going to hide our markness for Puerto Rican wrestlers or Puerto Rican entertainers. Bad Bunny is a global phenomenon. I knew about Bad Bunny before wrestling, and I tend to think I keep, you know, in constant contact with modern pop culture coaching kids. Bad Bunny is important. Dave Meltzer is an ignorant person. Obviously, it seems more like a race thing, because if you're going to tell me Stephen Amell is bigger name than Bad Bunny, I tend to think, well, no, I think you're just looking at their skin color more than anything else, but I digress. It's going to be Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. I love Bad Bunny.
Yeah, I agree. It's Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. You don't bring in the celebrity that's as popular as him, and you know, you don't bring up the guy like Damian Priest that, you know, Vince is like, look at him, that they're not going to go over. So Bad Bunny and Damian Priest. The New Day, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, take on AJ Styles and Omos for the WWE Tag Team Championships. Shout out to the New Day. I am rocking this Link Zelda shirt because obviously we know how important it is to the Up Up Down Down crew. With that, sorry boys, you're losing those titles. AJ Styles and Omos win this. What do you got?
So far, we're 3 for 3 together, man. I don't know if we're going to have a competition this year.
We'll see. Well, we got 2 nights of WrestleMania, good brother, so we can keep this going. Really fast, though, what are you looking forward in this match? Obviously, we know the New Day don't got to prove anything. Good payday for them. Going to be a big pop for them. Excited to see what gear they wear. But with that, AJ, you got to give this to this new kid. He's a beast. We'll see what they're going to do pushing him-wise. How are you feeling? Like, it's as simple as that, right?
Yeah, I really enjoy it because Almas is awesome. Like, he's a giant. Like, you're always going to push a giant like Kali and Big Show and all those type of guys. It's great to have him with AJ because, like, that talking piece and, like, the way they've been building of, like, he doesn't really know Almas, but, like, you can tell AJ is kind of using him.
Yeah.
But it's funny and it's and, like, they're letting Almas just be a giant and do giant things and, like, chokeslam him. It's a perfect setup of AJ, Almas, and, like, the New Day. Yeah, they're going to win the titles, run the gauntlet. And then when we finally, I think it's going to set up maybe like eventually like a comeback or a call up. And that's where you drop the titles and like AJ pull over a nice young tag team. And then maybe eventually see AJ and Omos, you know, like something fun like that.
Yeah, I think this is going to be multi-road, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see where the New Day goes after this. But yeah, we both are going with AJ Styles and Omos.
I think they're going to be doing a lot of G4 stuff, so like, it's okay to take them off TV for a little bit.
Yeah.
Biggie's already separated doing his thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, the G4 thing with Xavier, how much that's got to play into it, it's very true. And then, obviously, Kofi, you know, he's not getting any younger. Shout out, he takes care of himself. But, you know, he wants to make sure that he stays healthy. So you're right, they might slow down a little bit post-Mania. So how about this? The match everybody's least looking forward to, probably the worst build, and unfortunately it's one of my favorite guys in Shane McMahon, but with that, against Braun Strowman in a steel cage match.
I feel like it's been such a bad build that there definitely has to be something like, this is going to be a surprise. Like, I'm going to say Braun, I think, but like, I feel like there's like something shocking is going to happen, something surprising. I don't think it's just a bump thing. I got maybe Shane winning because, like, they go through the cage, kind of how, like, him and Lesnar did at the cage match in Saudi Arabia, where Lesnar technically rolled out first, but, like, Braun won.
Oh, no, that was with Roman,
know, but
right?
Something crazy is going to happen.
Yeah, I think that was with Roman, but, that or the Austin thing with
Roman,
correct. Or that's Paul White! So it could be, you know, it could be something lame like that, or it could simply be Braun goes over Shane. You know, like Shane jumps high and that's it. Like it could be something just that simple. Just let's
like
get
it. Shane wins, but like because he threw him off the cage. But like Braun really won, you know?
Yeah, I mean, or you know, he does something where he throws Riker and Elias out. So something done, but You know what? I'll go Shane.
I'll go Shane too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just different. I think it's probably going to be Braun, but I'll go Shane, I guess. But with that, you have probably the least anticipated and probably going to be maybe not the most popular match of the night to the Dark Horse sleeper match of WrestleMania both nights, Cesaro, Seth Rollins. Who do you got?
We're making Cesaro. Like, he's going to get a huge push, and it's going to be amazing. I can't wait. This match is possibly going to be the Ciampa Walter version of WrestleMania weekend, so I'm really excited. But yeah, like, this is what they do. Cesaro's finally getting a solo WrestleMania match, and he's, you know, this is gonna be his big coming out, I hope.
Yeah, I agree, and there's no better person to do it than Seth Rollins. You know they're gonna put a banger on right in the middle of this card, and yeah, I mean, get Cesaro over. Kind of sucks that there's not gonna be a Nakamura in this card, and still no Dolph Ziggler singles match at WrestleMania, but at least Cesaro gets his. And we both agree he is going over. How about this? In a tag team turmoil match, the winner receives a WWE Women's Tag Team Championship match on night two of WrestleMania. It is Lana and Naomi versus Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose versus the Riot Squad versus Natalia and Tamina versus Billie Kay and Carmella. So essentially, who becomes the number one contender going into night two?
I think we're building it because it's a heel tag team. So I like Natty and Tamina, but like they're also a heel tag team, so I don't think it's going to be that. They're meant to be the heels in this match. It's going to be Lana and Naomi, and I do think they're going to win. I think they're going to separate Shayna and Nia. They'll have a big outcome. And I think Lana and Naomi, one, deserve it, too. They're very, have a great presence to them, especially social media-wise, and WWE really likes to push them. Naomi deserves a title. Lana's putting a lot of work. I think it makes the most sense to let it be them. And you have some legitimacy with Naomi being a former champion, where you don't look at it like if it was Dana and Lana. You're like, oh, no, like, I could see this being a successful tag team.
That's a really good point. Yeah, just the credibility of Naomi being on that team alone. You know, it's interesting because I wanted to see Billie Kay and Carmella together, but it just makes me think, like, why isn't Peyton Royce and Billie Kay together? You're going to do nothing with them. You know, like, you might as well do something with them together. The Natalia and Tamina thing is interesting because they've been building that recently. But the Lana and Naomi thing would be the longest-term story building, if that's what you were going to do. So I'm with you. I'll go Lana and Naomi.
There you go. Unless they put Billie Kay and Payne Royce back together somehow.
I agree. That's the only, yeah. But it, which would suck, because then why did you separate them to begin with? Other than to maybe give them the pop at WrestleMania. But we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. They did win it at WrestleMania. So
do it for the boys.
Yeah.
Pop for the boys.
How about this one? The main event of WrestleMania Night 1. Sasha Banks defends the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship against Bianca Belair, the winner of the Women's Royal Rumble match this past January. Good brother, the main event, WrestleMania. The first main event with featuring two black women. Not just that, the second time women will be main eventing WrestleMania. Your thoughts on this historic match?
It's been a terrible build, but this is how you get us past a terrible build. And like honestly, like, cool. Like, main event, get them in front of the audience. I'll forgive the build was a little lackluster because you gave us everything we wanted. You set the table. You're making the steak. You're making the potatoes. Like, I'm cool with it. Like, I don't care I had to wait an hour in traffic to get here. Like, I don't care if the build was terrible. I'm so excited. Bianca's been one of our favorites since we got to see her in NXT a few years ago. Have a match, so I'm excited for her. She deserves this. Sasha's one of the OGs. Like, this is going to be a great match. And to see a singles match main event, a women's singles match with two black women, like, that's so awesome. Like, there's no negative in this. Even with the build being so bad, there's nothing to complain about right now.
100% agree. It is one of those things that makes you believe. I know a lot of rumors had been, well, are they sure what was going to main event throughout this entire build? I think the reason they weren't so invested in it is because they knew it doesn't matter that the main event will be remembered just for being the main event, and they're going to put on a showcase. With that, it's Bianca Belair's night. Yep. I mean, it's that simple. It's her night. She's the future. Sasha Banks is going to go film some stuff. She might stick around for a while, but you know her time of being transcendent, it's on its way. So I love this matchup. I love that they're main eventing, and I love the idea of WrestleMania ending with a new champion. Wink, wink. With that, good brother, you ready for night two of WrestleMania?
So far, we chose the exact same list, so we need some different ones on this list, or
I think we're going to see
very much of a match.
We're going to see some of it, I think, in night two, because the meat and potatoes, the juiciness, the real crazy convolutedness of WrestleMania, it's night two, the night your boy should be at. But I digress. I'll never let that go. Chicago, build a better stadium so I could please see a WrestleMania in my hometown. With that, Asuka defends the Raw Women's Championship against Rhea Ripley. Who do you got?
Rhea Ripley, we're getting two new women champions, and we're pushing this division forward.
Yeah, it's time for Rhea Ripley. Asuka needs to take a break. That woman had carried not only that division, but the entire roster, along with Sasha and Bayley in the beginning of this pandemic. It's been a year. She needs a break. She held it down. She's the best. She's awesome. And, you know, Becky Lynch is going to need somebody to fight on Monday night, tomorrow, on Monday after WrestleMania night two. So Rhea Ripley wins the Raw Women's Championship. With that, good brother, this is the match that everybody was really highly anticipating, but might disappoint the most beyond Braun Strowman and Shane McMahon, and that's The Fiend with Alexa Bliss versus Randy Orton in a regular match.
I think something kooky is going to happen. Like I said, I think they're, like, the surprise is, like, there's going to be some surprise that gets us pumped for it, like, night of. I'm not too worried because they, like, I like everything they do with The Fiend, and I love Randy Orton. Like, he doesn't do anything bad. Obviously, The Fiend's winning. You got to get his win back against, you can tell, like, he's collecting his wins back. And I like that long-term storytelling of, like, Bray Wyatt as a man beat John Cena at the last WrestleMania. Now he's going to beat Randy Orton. Like, he's getting them all back. And, like, God, I would hope it leads to one more Undertaker. But, like, obviously, I don't think that's going to happen. But that would be fun. Like, to get the innovators of those filmed matches to go one-on-one with each other, that'd be pretty cool. But I enjoy the fact that he's going to get his win back, at least. Like, that long-term, we can play with that.
So The Fiend is winning this regardless. We both agree with that. But my question, I think, to you becomes, are you confident that it's going to be something beyond just a regular match in the squared circle in the middle of that football field?
Yes.
All right. I
don't know match-wise, but something kooky will happen. But okay. I don't think, like, we're going to get a random new match that we didn't hear of, but I do think something crazy with the entrance or the ending or the finish, like, something crazy will happen that'll make us be like, damn, that was dope.
So no Firefly Funhouse 2?
No, I think they would have advertised that then.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's what's caught people off guard. It's like, even up until this past Monday Night Raw, people were like, they never said Firefly Funhouse match. And yeah, I think we're going through with just a singles match. I guess, are we going to get, we've seen this though. We've seen these two guys in the middle of the ring. I agree with you. They're going to have to do something special. Otherwise, we're just getting worms in the middle of the ring again in a projector. And I don't think anybody wants to see that.
I think they know what they're doing. I think that it's like with the Bianca Belair thing. They hear us. They know we're complaining about, like, well, is this going to be a normal match? I think they're ready for it. But obviously, you're in front of an audience. So I'm actually really, really excited to see what they do with it. Is it going to deliver? I don't know. But, like, my excitement level is up there to see, like, what they do.
And we move on at WrestleMania Night 2 at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay, Florida, as fans will be back in the stands. And you know they're going to pop big when this man's music hits because he's getting a live performance. It is the one, the only one of our favorites. Big E defends the Intercontinental Championship against Apollo Crews in a Nigerian drum fight, which essentially is going to be a street fight. With that, we love these two dudes, these UHA Nation, Big E, I Need Five, let's do this. Who do you got?
I got Big E, big men slapping big meat, like I love it, like, you know, big chest and big everything. Like, I love these two guys.
Y'all why? A five-star classic.
E. Yeah, like, I do, yeah, bump that, homie.
Bump that.
I got Big E.
Yeah, I agree. I love Big E. The problem is, okay, Apollo Crews needs something. This character's great. I know a lot of people have problems with it because, like, it's accentuated, but I'm like, that's wrestling. Like, and if he's cool with it, you know, if he's not, and we find out in the memoirs down the road, and, like, I'll feel like a complete jackass about it, but, like, if he's down with it, you know, and this is something to, I know a lot of people who are watching this may not be UFC fans, but, like, look at the UFC right now with Kamaru Usman, Israel Adesanya, and Francis Ngannou, African champions that the UFC promotes as African champions. They come out in their traditional garbs, and I think that's dope. Like, and we've seen it with Legado, with Santos Escobar, just the incorporation in a tasty in a tasteful way. I think maybe the spear is a little too much, but I understand, like, you know, I could see why this would be a good idea in somebody's mind. So I don't know if he can lose at WrestleMania, but this is
what you're almost convincing me. Like, this will be the hard one. I'm still going to ride with Big E, but I think I'm going to be wrong. And like I said, Mike, what was the most popular movie the last 10 years? One of them, Black Panther. Big old spears, big garments. Like you said with the UFC, that's a great example. And he does have this set. His dad was a diplomat. Like, I've heard a lot of interviews. Like, this is the life he kind of grew up with. So, like, I think he's really embracing it.
So, it's a tough one. I wish neither one of them, I wish both of them could just have fun and win and not lose.
Yeah, tag team.
Yeah, be awesome together. But, so you're going Big E. I want to go Big E, too. I think it'd be fun if I went Apollo just because we'd be different. But, I mean.
I can't do it, man. I love Big E.
Same
do
here.
It. Big E's my favorite wrestler. All so, right. Like, I can't go. I'll always pick Big E from now on in every single day. I don't care if he's facing The Undertaker and Goldberg in a handicap match or the Shield return. I'm always going to pick Big E. But I think this is where we'll be wrong.
I agree. I'll go Big E. I'll go Big E. Apollo is so cool too, though, but I'll go Big E. Speaking of other guys we love, how about this one? Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. And look it. I'm not going to do what people are doing with the Bad Bunny. I know Logan Paul because I cover sports and I go down the YouTube rabbit hole. But with Logan Paul,
he's a great heel. He's a great heel, man.
So what do you? How does this work out? I mean, Kevin Owens.
Sammy.
You think? See, because I'm thinking Kevin Owens wins because Logan Paul turns on him. But here's the thing. Here's bottom line. Logan Paul is going to be with the winner of this. So the question is, does Logan Paul turn on Sami Zayn because Sami's just kooky crazy? Or does he keep down, you know, down the middle and Sami Zayn finally gets something over and, like, something he could hold on to? And the one person that could take an L, especially to a Sami, is a Kevin Owens?
It's tough because, like, again, like, I know wins and losses don't matter, but eventually, like, they do. And they both need a win. But they also are good enough to take it out. I do think it's Sammy because I think the Pauls in general, like, hate him or not, I mean, most people do, they're the heel. It's like Conor McGregor. Like, if you like him, it's probably because you're, like, you're that type of person.
Or you're Irish.
Yeah. So, like, for me, I'm like, I appreciate that. So, like, that would be pretty cool. I think it's Sammy.
Yeah, I think it's Sammy too, but, like, it'll be interesting. Like, look out, at least so we can say here, look out for Logan Paul to turn on Sammy and continue on the conspiracy theory. It's like, even Logan Paul was against me, those good-for-nothing Paul brothers, you know? So, like, keep an eye for maybe that storyline down the road too, you know, especially with Fox. You know they love the promotion. How about this one? This one is going to be a heavy hitter. Riddle defends the United States Championship against Sheamus. Two beefy men slapping meat. Who do you got in this one?
I'm going to say Sheamus. I don't love it, but I think they're just going to – I think the way it's been built and the way Sheamus has been going after that heavyweight champion, it makes the most sense for it to be Sheamus.
Yeah, Sheamus took a lot of L's so that he could take a W at WrestleMania. And I don't think – Vince loves Riddle, but I don't think he's – that's why I don't think he's afraid for Riddle to lose at a WrestleMania. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he loves Riddle enough where he's like, he'll be fine. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think Vince loves Matt Riddle.
I do too.
So we'll see. I think we'll both go with Sheamus on this one. And then Nia Jax versus Shayna Baszler against, we both pick Lana and Naomi, and we both have Lana and Naomi winning?
Yeah, so regardless of who it is, let's say we're wrong the first time, do you think Nia and Shayna drop the titles?
Yeah, they drop the titles finally. Yeah, because Becky's coming back. So at some point, that changes the entire women's division, I think. And then you have Rhea.
Titles need to be on SmackDown. They've definitely built more tag teams there than Raw.
Yeah, very interesting. So we agree. There's going to be a title change here. And finally, in the main event of WrestleMania 37, Night 2, Roman Reigns defends the WWE Universal Championship against Daniel Bryan and Edge. This has been the most surreal story because of the three real-life men in this main event. At one point or another, all three of these men had career-ending situations, and one so scary that it had the big C word. And now, these three superstars will entertain for the first time in this situation, for the second time, in over a year, in the WWE universe. Good Brother, a main event I never thought any of us would see. I don't think any of us could ever guess until we finally got close enough to it. But here we are, these three legends of the industry, these three, you know, next generation titans are going to main event the last night of WrestleMania in front of fans. Your thought of this improbable main event?
This has had the best build, and like I watched SmackDown last night. They cut some amazing promos, honestly. Like, very real, very nostalgic. I do think it's going to be Roman, because I think there's only one person. Like, you're not going to blow your load for Roman without The Rock or Brock. So I truly believe like this is going to be a setup. I think we'll get a side storyline with Edge and Daniel Bryan, hopefully. But I do think at the end of the day, through all this, like, they've done the best job leaving it up to question of, like, man, like, I can't read the build. Like, any of these guys have a legit storyline reason to win and can continue on being fine. I think it's going to be Roman.
I think it's going to be Roman. I 100% agree with you. I think Daniel is in this match to take the pin. And, I mean, we all see you coming a mile away. I mean, maybe the ultimate swerve happens and he wins. But this is to build down the future of Roman versus Edge, I think, one-on-one at SummerSlam at some point. But you're 100% correct. We don't know what's up with Brock. We don't know what's up with The Rock. There's a lot of different situations that are still kind of going on at one time that Roman is too good. And this is also the truth, too. If you really want to do that, Drew McIntyre is that champion, you know? He's that character that can kind of have that back and forth title switches. Roman Reigns is the one that's on ESPN and on Fox, and so is Drew. But, like, Roman's still the guy, even though he's a heel. You know what I'm saying? Like, Vince still makes Roman the guy in front of the camera, even though he's out there being the biggest shit talker in wrestling, you know, or at least in the WWE universe. So I don't think this is the night Roman loses. And I think if
No, and I think that it's perfect storyline of Edge and Daniel Bryan. I think we'll see at SummerSlam more or sooner, because it's going to be the story of, like, Daniel Bryan takes the pin. Edge is going to be like, you got thrown in my title opportunity. You took the loss. I didn't lose. You're going to get both, I think, leading up to the eventual Brock or Rock return. I think Rock is only a WrestleMania thing, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's a Brock return later this year, possibly. But I think what's going to set up is Daniel Bryan, Edge of, like, you cost me my title. I didn't get pinned. You got added. You destroyed my moment. Him going apeshit on Daniel Bryan.
See, I think, you know, and we're talking about The Rock and Brock, but I think there's one name, too, that this can all be building towards, and it depends on this night. Night 2 has both Big E and Roman both holding the titles that they defended, and 1 year later in Los Angeles, you get to see Big E versus Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. What do you think about that as a potential 365 from now?
I like it. But again, you always have, and I don't think The Rock card's as up there. I just don't, like, The Rock's too famous. Like, I don't see him being able to put a storyline together and insurance clearing a match. So it really comes on to Brock, and I do think we're going to see him sooner than later. So I don't know, but possibly, like, we could see, maybe Brock comes back and loses.
Interesting, and
you know, Brock don't mind taking an L. He just wants some numbers.
That's true. And then, like, you, if you're Paul Heyman, Vince McMahon, if you're Roman, if you're all these guys, you hitch the ride with the guy that's going to be there longer. But I'm very interested, because we know WrestleMania builds to the next WrestleMania. You know, people always make fun of WWE for not long-term story building, but they're also a little OCD about their own long-term story building. So typically I picture WWE like I do a lot of different things, and that's in moments, in like snapshots, I should say, in a Snapchat for all you kids. It's a moment that you could play right now and you can use not only a year from now in the next WrestleMania, but for 10 years down the road. And this idea of having Wale sing Big E's song. Big E come out there, have the drones and the fireworks, and he beats this new arch enemy that he's had. And then 1 year from there, he takes on the guy that is being managed by the man that made him go viral in that video, saying that Big E is the Big E we're all been waiting for. And it comes full circle at WrestleMania 38.
I hope. You know, Big E deserves the WWE champion.
I 100% agree, but good brother, I don't think we disagreed on anything at this WrestleMania.
No, we have the same exact card. We did for NXT, which NXT we tend to disagree a little bit more
about.
But
we ended up splitting yeah. NXT anyway. And you can check out those picks on Twitter at Good Brothers Pod and on Facebook at Mercado Airwaves. The Good Brother also had it on his Twitter account at Mercado21Alex, and I had it at mine at Mike M Media. We did pretty good. I've enjoyed WrestleMania week, Good Brother. It's one of our favorite weeks. I know we talk about on social media and, you know, in the world that there's real things going on and real situations. This is one of those distractions that our family, and more particularly you, myself, and our brother, we love WrestleMania. It's our favorite time of the year when it comes to this industry, just like the Oscars, the Super Bowl, the World Series. So, you know, I'm excited to see fans in the stands. I know it's lame to say, it's cliche to say, but to see on Saturday and Sunday night that there's going to be, and you and I are sports fans, so we've seen fans in stands. But wrestling, there's something special about the fans. They're so a part of the show. They're so needed. And we're going to finally see that. And I think that's really important, too. That can't get lost after what's going to be two great nights of cards, of sports and entertainment, to have the people, the universe, back together. I think that we can't overlook that.
I agree, because as a sporting event, just to see fans back, like with the Super Bowl and now this, it's important, and I think it's important to watch and be like, how is this going to be? But no more than with wrestling, because wrestling, it is so much fan interaction compared to any other sports or entertainment, that's what I'm more excited about, is just hearing the pops. Like, I can spend my whole day just listening to the pops and the boos and what do fans like? Because now as a couple, you're like, well, what do fans like? We think we know, but maybe they turn on us, or maybe this, but that's the exciting part of this. And it's not just your wrestlers. Like, AEW, I appreciate them putting a audience, but this is like more a little back to normalcy, so I'm really excited. Like, I can't wait for that first boom, this is WrestleMania.
And it's so funny, Sid, I was actually just about to say it, that we're gonna find out over the last year who's over, who's a babyface, and who's a heel, because we've seen who they told us is on television, but we're gonna find out who the people, the universe, the fans think is a babyface, a heel, who's over, who's not, who do they want to see. And Good Brother, I'm actually pretty excited for the first, you know, Fight Forever or CM Punk or ECW, get the tables, all of them. I want them all back. I want them back, Good Brother. And guess what? We get them back, because on Saturday and Sunday nights, in front of a live crowd in Tampa Bay, Florida, at Raymond James Stadium, we will get to see WrestleMania 37. Good Brother, thank you so much for coming back on the show. I hope everything's been going on good with you. Before we leave, everything good with the kids? Did you guys kick ass? Are you still allowed to be in the family because you brought back championship gold?
I am still the head of the table, yes.
Well, I don't know so much about that. I'm like Daniel Bryan. I always insert myself into a situation, and guess what? I know how to pull double duty. Good Brother, any final thoughts for your people as we get ready for a night full of entertainment in both sports, entertainment, and, of course, WrestleMania?
Have some fun.
With that, everybody, thank you so much. If you've been watching us on Facebook, on YouTube, hello, we love you. Mwah. The Good Brother will be on the screen so you can make fun of him and the muscles. You can make fun of me and all the graphic tees. Thank you guys so much for joining us here on The Good Brothers. We love you. Please take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Enjoy all those television shows that you're catching up on. Watch those movies that are streaming right now at your own home, in your own leisure of your own home. And of course, make sure you guys are being safe and sound. We love you. We will see you next time. For The Good Brother himself, Alex Mercado.
Adios.
I'm The Good Brother, Mike Mercado. We will see you next time here on The Good Brothers on the Mercado Airwaves Network.
Thanks for joining us here on The Good Brothers, here on Mercado Airwaves.